Morning. Today's daf in Bamitzia is Lamed Dalet. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lonezech and Nishmas Liba Gavrila Bashmuel. We have the chus this morning of starting the third parak of Bamitzia. We are on Lamed Gimel Mid Base. We start with the first Mishnah of the third parak. Amafkidetzel Chaver Behemo Kalim. So I deposit by my friend either an animal or utensils. Vinigd Mivu Oshabdo. So, and it was stolen from him. Okay, now later this morning, we're going to go over the Dalet Shomrim. We're going to go over all four of the different types of watchmen and their level of responsibility. And we've heard this before, and we're going to hear this again. And I'll get to that point later. Right now, I'm just going to I'm going to stay focused on what the Mishnah here wants us to learn. And that is the following. So you're a Shomer, and you were asked to watch something, and it was stolen from you, or you lost it. So Shilim v'lo rasali shavah. So the Mishnah describes a scenario in which, you know what? You could make a shvua, you could make an oath, and you could basically say, look, with my oath that I'm about to make, I could exempt myself from having to pay any type of obligation, but you know what? I prefer not to. I feel that the right thing for me to do is to pay. You have the option of paying if you want. So, Hare Amru Shomer Chinam Nishba V'Yotze. Now, the truth of the matter is that the Mishnah here is very clear. We're talking about a Shomer Chinam. Mm-hmm. So that means that you could just simply say the item was stolen from me or the item was lost, and you that would exempt you. And but at the same time, however, your conscience tells you that I want to pay. It's not right. I want to pay.
You have to swear.
Huh?
He has to swear.
No, what do you mean? If you
Shomer
Chinam? No, he has to swear if he wants to exempt himself. He doesn't want to exempt himself. He wants to pay. So he says, I'm going to pay. So, Nimsa Ganav Misham Teshlam Ekefal. Tavachamachem Misham Teshlam Arba Vechemisha. Now, in the event that the Ganav is found, and so the Ganav now is caught with the stolen goods. So, as we've discussed extensively back in Baba Kama, specifically the seventh parak of Baba Kama, so the Ganav has to pay Kefal. And if the Ganav compounded his error by not only stealing the item, but also shechting the item or selling it off to somebody else, fencing it to somebody else, so he has to pay Dal Vehe. He has to pay four or five times the amount. Now, the Mishnah, give me a moment. The Mishnah over here is really teaching us one singular point, and that is the following. Let me mishalem. Who's going to be now the recipient of that kefal, and who's going to get the dal v'hei? So, let me show how not slow, and the answer is going to be the mufkad, the one who was entrusted to watch the item. Meaning, here's basically the Mishnah's point, and it's one singular point, and that is that when the shomer pays for the item, so basically what he's doing now is he's taking possession of the item. So that now the item is no longer with him, meaning the item was stolen. He doesn't have the item. But by him paying for the item, effectively what he's doing is he's acquiring the item. So that if there is a future benefit that comes from the item, notably kefal, notably dal v'hei, if there's any kind of future benefit that comes from the animal, he's going to be the recipient of that benefit because he's the one who bought the animal. And he didn't even have to buy the animal. Keep in mind, he could have easily exempted himself with a shvua because he was a shomer chinam, and a shomer chinam is exempt in Gneva v'aveda. But he opted not to exempt himself with a shvua. He wanted to pay for the item. Once he pays for the item, or as we'll say in a little bit, even if he doesn't actually pay for the item, as long as he commits to pay for the item, well, that's a foreshadowing for the Gemara coming up. Once he pays for the item, so that at that point in time now the item becomes his, and therefore any benefit that would come as a result of the item becomes his. Now let's go in the other direction. The Mishnah now is just going to contrast this with the next point. Nishba v'lo ratza l'shalem. Let's say he's a shomer chinam. The item was stolen. So now he decides, you know what? I'm a shomer chinam. I can exempt myself by simply saying that the item was stolen. But that's not enough just to simply say the item was stolen. You have to go to court and you have to make a shvua. But he's ready to do that because that's what happened. So, Nimsa Haganam Misham Teshlam Ekefal Tavach Macha Misham Teshlam Arba V'Chamisha Lemi Misham Labala Pikadon. Now, in this occurrence where he decides not to pay for the item but rather to exempt himself with a shvua, so now who's the owner of the item? The original owner is still the owner of the item, meaning nothing changed. All the shomer did was just simply exempt himself from liability because he made a shvua that the item was stolen from him. And so now, in the event that the ganav is caught, and there's kefal, and if there's dal v'hei, that's all going to go to the original owner. Okay, Ad Kan Divrei HaMishnah. The Mishnah over here is really interested in teaching us one point, and that is that when a Shomer has the ability to exempt himself for the Shvuah and decides that, you know what, I'm not going to exempt myself for the Shvuah, but I'm going to pay for the item, when he pays for the item, he acquires the item in that any future benefit that comes from the item is now going to belong to him. Okay.
Good.
We have a lot to discuss over here. Let's start with the Gemara. So the Gemara's first point is going to be a technical point, and that is that the Mishnah over here gives two examples, right? If you look at the first line of the Mishnah, where I entrusted with my friend either for him to watch an animal or utensils. Now, that is a little superfluous. But there doesn't have to be two examples in the Mishnah. The Gemara asked that question. Why two examples in the Mishnah? Tzricha, the Gemara says that they're necessary. Because look, when I give an animal to my friend, I understand that this is a burden. It's an animal. It's a living being. He's got to bring the animal out. He's got to take the animal back in. He's got to feed the animal. In other words, there's a lot of care. There's a lot of upkeep for the animal. So if at the end the animal was stolen from him and he says to me, I'd like to pay for the animal, so then you, the owner, could say, you know what, it was such a burden anyway, let him have it. He wants to pay for the animal, I'll let him pay for the animal. He wants future kayful possibilities, I give him that as well. In other words, that was really a burden. However, but when we're talking about Kalim, where, what did he have to do as a shomer? Simply leave the kli, it's an inanimate object, leave it in his house, put it in a corner. So now, lo maknelik feilam. So now he comes to me and he says to me, the item was stolen, and I want to buy it. Meaning, because I want the possible kefal, kefal future. So I say to him at that point in time, look, my friend, the item was mine, and you claimed that it was stolen, I believe you, and if we're going to find the ganav, I'm not giving the kefal over to you, you didn't do anything. In fact, I will say this, you didn't lock your door at night, meaning the item was stolen from you. You know what, I'm not allowing you the opportunity to buy the item from me. So there you can, and what did you do? You didn't do anything. So the Gemara says, so over there, I could have made an argument that there's a distinction between kli. And the Gemara says, and we can also go in the other direction as well. And when it comes to a kli, what is the maximum benefit that could he receive? And that would be kefal. However, when you're talking about an animal, look at what the future possibility. It could be that if he buys the animal, if the shomer buys the animal, you could be gaining kefal dal vehei. He could hit the lottery, in terms of what the benefits are in the future. And maybe the owner is thinking to himself, I'm not ready to give up all that possible benefit. So therefore, lo makne like fela. So therefore, he's not ready to sell that to him. Tzricha. That's why both cases in the Mishnah kli and Behema are both listed in the Mishnah. And what that leaves us now with is a really simple question. You probably already thought about this question in your head, and that's the following. Let's consider now what the acquisition is over. We have a situation in which the shomer says to the owner of the item, I'm really sorry the item was stolen from me. I'd like to buy the item from you. Now, when he says, I'd like to buy the item from you, meaning, where's the item right now? The item is not on his possession. Okay, and we're going to get to that point in just a moment. But really, the truth of the matter is that what he's buying from him is a future possibility. That in the event that the animal is going to be found, meaning that we find the thief, so what's going to end up happening is that he, the shomer, is now going to acquire kefal. Or maybe even dal vehei, if the animal was shechted or sold. So now we're basically talking about him buying a future. We know this throughout Chas as a davar shelo bal olam. So how can you buy a future? Generally speaking, the halacha is ina damakna davar shelo bal olam. Now, as we know, we've gone through this a number of times. This is a common discussion that takes place throughout the Gemara, and that is it's a machlokas tanaim. And we know that Rav Meir does allow for a kinyan on a davar shelo bal olam, but as the Gemara is about to articulate in a second, even Rav Meir over here shouldn't be happy. And so the question we're about to explore is, how can I make a kinyan on a future? Something that is not yet materialized.
He's not making a kinyan, he's buying the animal. Okay? That what happens later on, then it's like any time. I mean, even if it is not stolen,
okay,
somebody
so
from me.
You're scratching at the answer. So, but let's first go through the question, and the Gemara is going to hit the answer. So, Maskevlo Rami Bar Chama. So, the Gemara asks in the name of Rami Bar Chama, V'hain in Adam Makdin Davar Shelo Bala Olam. So, a person cannot make an acquisition on something that will materialize only in the future. And Feeler Amir Dama Davar Makdin Davar Shelo Bala Olam. And I know the Gemara says that's a machlokus tonight. And I know Reb Meir says that a person can make a transaction on a future, but even Reb Meir's position is limited. The Gemara says, "La'olam hanimi l'kigon peres dekel da'avi de'dasu." In other words, if I want to buy next year's crop, Reb Meir says you could do it. But look, what are we talking about over here? Next year's crop, the trees are here, the trees are going to produce the fruit, and generally speaking, on a normal year, the trees produce fruit. So Reb Meir says that I have no problem making an acquisition on a future like that, where I know, or I'm not 100% confident, but I have a good hunch that the trees are going to produce fruit. Dasu, aval hacha, but over here, let's think this through. What are we talking about over here? What the Shomer is buying is that if the ganav is found, and if the ganav is paying, and if the ganav actually has the money, then and only then am I going to get kefal. So you're buying a future, but it's not even a solid future. It really is a future based on many variables. And the Gemara spells it all out. Mi yemer, we're on the top of Lamed Aleph Aleph. Mi yemer de Migneva. So first of all, we don't even know if the item was actually stolen, meaning we know the item's not here anymore. Okay. And even if the item was stolen, do we actually know that we're going to catch the thief? And even if we catch the thief, that doesn't mean he's going to pay. Remember, the thief has the opportunity at any point in time before being caught to simply make an admission that he actually stole it, which means that he's not going to be paying kefal. So, in order to get to the point of kefal, we have so many hurdles that we need to run over in order so that kefal actually happens. So the Gemara says that even according to Reb Meir, who says that a person can make a kinyan on the Davar Shelo Bala Olam, that's in a simple case where the trees are here, and it's just a question of whether they're going to produce fruit, and chances are they are. So there, Reb Meir says, I'm comfortable making a kinyan on a future. But over here, what the Shomer is acquiring is a future of kefal, and really, truth be told, we don't know if kefal is going to come. That's the Gemara's question. The Gemara is going to answer the question. Basically, it's going to be two versions of the same answer, but you'll see there'll be subtleties between these two answers. Let's go. Answer number one. Amar Rav Nasik Amar Lo Lishchitichnov V'Tirtze V'Tishalmeni Harei Parasa Kunu Yolach Me'achshav. Okay. So, the Rav's answer is as follows. Really, the truth of the matter is that the sale was embedded. Meaning, when you had the original transfer from the owner to the shomer, so the owner said to the shomer, in that original transfer, here's what's going to happen. If in the event, now this is not explicitly stated at the time, but it's understood. If in the event the animal is taken from you, and if in the event that you decide that instead of exempting yourself, you want to pay for it, so this transfer that we're doing right now will constitute the kinyan so that you can acquire the animal at a later point in time. So in other words, when the shomer is buying the animal from the owner, he's not buying it from that point where he actually is paying, and he is not buying it at a future point as well, but rather what's happening is that it's all going retroactive to the time of the original Mesira from the owner to the shomer. That is answer number one of the Gemara. Now, this answer is a great answer. However, it isn't complete. And the Gemara now points out that this is an incomplete answer. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, in other words, if this transaction goes back retroactive to the time of the original transfer from the owner to the shomer, so the Gemara says, so that means now that he, meaning the shomer, should also acquire any other benefits that come off the animal. So, for example, the shearings of the animal, if the animal gets pregnant and gives birth. So all these things now should belong to the shomer, and it should belong to him retroactive to the time of the original Mesira. However, Alamatanya, but the Gemara says very clearly in a Braisa, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Chutz Migizosel V'Ladosel. Meanwhile, it is to the exclusion of the shearings and the Vlad. That does not go to the shomer. That remains by the owner. So now the Gemara says, if really the kinyan is embedded at the time of the original Mesira, and it goes retroactive to the time of Mesira, so that means that everything Giza, Vlad, Kefal, any fringe benefit that comes off the animal should belong to the Shomer, and the Braisa says that's not true. So the Gemara says, Ela Amar Rav Zera, Nasika Omer Lo. So what Rav Zera is going to do now is really stick with Rav's answer. I know the Gemara says Ella. And generally speaking, when you see the word Ella, it's a total change. But what Rav Zera is going to do is basically stick with Rav's answer, but with a modification. And the modification goes like this. Look, here's what's going to happen. I will be mocking the animal to you retroactive to this point in time. Meaning in the event that the animal is taken and you want to pay for it, fine. It goes back retroactive to this point in time. However, what we're going to do is that even as I'm makna to you the animal, I'm going to put an exclusion in that. In that, I'm going to keep the shearing and I'm going to keep the vlad. Well, my paska. Now the Gemara says, now how is this exclusion intuitive? Meaning, again, none of this was verbalized at the time of the Mesira. So basically, the Gemara wants to know, why would there be such a distinction? So the Gemara explains, Stama de Milsa Shvacha de Asa Me'ama Avin Inshta Makne. Shvacha de Migufa Lo Avin Inshta Makne. So the Gemara says, look, there are fringe benefits that come off the animal. Some are internal, some are external. And as far as internal fringe benefits, like the shearings of the animal, I mean, the animal is going to grow wool. And the fetuses, assuming it's a female animal, the animal is going to get pregnant, it's going to deliver. So these are fringe benefits that are internal. These are profits that are internally generated from the animal. And so the owner basically says to himself, even if though it's not explicit, but it's implicit, he says, look, these are things that are naturally going to come off the animal. So even though there is a chance that the animal is going to go over to you, but I'm really going to retain the shearings of the animal and the babies of this animal, these are internally generated profits. Masha Ein came. When we're talking about kefal, what has to happen? Remember, we're talking about kefal. What has to happen for kefal to occur? A thief has to steal it. The thief has to be caught. The thief has to pay, like we said a moment earlier. These are all externally generated profits of the animal. So you want to buy that for me? You know what? Good for you. I'll let you buy that off of me. Okay, so we have now approach number one of the Gemara, and that is that when did the kinyan occur? Meaning, again, the question is, we have this principle of davish lo bala olam. You can't buy a future. So the answer number one of the Gemara, it's Rav and Rav Zera really complementing each other in terms of giving this answer, is that we're not making a kinyan on a future. Rather, the kinyan goes retroactive to the time of the Mesira. And in the retroactive kinyan, going back to the time of the Mesira, there's an understood, a tacit agreement that in the event that you're going to pay me, you're going to buy it from me, retroactive to the point of the original transfer from the owner to the shomer. But with one modification, and that is that I'll let you buy from me kefal, but I'm not letting you buy from me giza uvlada. Those are internal profits, and I keep that for myself. That's answer number one. Answer number two of the Gemara. Iged amr amr rava, nasikam alo, lishechetignov, vitirtsa vitsishameni, samach lignevasa knu yalach. So here in answer number two, we're going to say like this. It's very similar to answer number one, but there's a marked difference between the two. Here, I'm going to say that the sale is not for the future, but rather the sale occurs retroactive. But not retroactive all the way to the time of the original Mesira, let's call that T1, right? Not to the time of the original Mesira, but from the moment right before it was stolen from you. Meaning it was in your possession the moment before it was stolen from you. So going back, we'll call that now T2. So going back to T2, from that point in time, the kinyan will have occurred. You will have acquired it retroactive to that point. And then the item becomes yours. So it's not a davar shelo bala olam. We're not making a kinyan on the future, but it's retroactive to the time right before the geneva.
It is davar shelo bala olam because he didn't know it was going to be stolen. So it's really selling something which maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't happen.
All right, but at least at the time of the kinyan, it was on his possession. Right, this answer, sir, I hear you. This answer is a little more difficult than the first answer. Now, my Beinayu, the Gemara says, now the nafka between these two answers is the following. The Gemara says, first of all, Ika Beinayu Kusha de Rabbi Zera. Meaning, in answer number two, we no longer have to, we don't have to deal with Rabbi Zera's issue. Remember, Rabbi Zera said, how come the owner gets to retain Giza Vavoda? So, in answer number one, we gave a modification. Well, I'm going to transfer over the animal to you, but not all the animal, only kefal. I'm going to transfer over to you, but in terms of Giza Vavod, I retain for myself, and we had to make this distinction between internally generated profit versus externally generated profit. Fine. In answer number two, it actually is a lot cleaner. Because in answer number two, the item does not belong to the Shomer until a moment before Geneva. So now, once we say that, so now you totally understand. Giza va'avod, the shearings of the animal, the babies of the animal are going to go back to the owner because it actually belongs to the owner right up until the point of Geneva. So in that regard, answer number two actually works out better than answer number one. Inami, but the Gemara points out, however, there's another issue as well, and that is the Kaima Ba'agam. Let's say right before the theft, where was the animal? The animal was not on the property of the owner. In other words, it was out in the swamp. The owner knew where it was, but it wasn't on his possession. So now let's think this through. Right before the Geneva, the animal was out in the swamp. So now, if we go with Rava's first approach, when was the kinyan done? At T1. Meaning at the time of Mesira, you're good. Meaning because what was the actual kinyan? It was a transfer from the owner to the shomer. That created the kinyan. And remember now, the kinyan goes back retroactive to that point in time. You're fine. But what if we go with Rava's second approach, which is at T2? The moment before the Geneva. You see, the moment before the Geneva, now we have a problem. Because in what way now did the shomer actually make a kinyan? So let's rule everything out. Meaning, what about kinyan chatzir? It wasn't on his property at the time. There was no mashicha at that time as well. So therefore, if we go with Rav's second approach, which is that the kinyan occurs right before the Geneva, and at the time, right before the Geneva, the animal was out in the swamp, so then we actually have a problem. There actually is no way for the shomer to acquire it. Story's not over. Rashi says, why don't we make the following consideration? Why don't we say that, let's go with our second approach of Rava, that the time of kinyan is actually at T2, meaning right before the Geneva. And let's even say that the animal was out in the swamp. Rashi makes the following argument, or at least attempts to make the following argument. Why don't we say that, as far as the kinyan is concerned, the kinyan, the maisa kinyan could be the actual original mesira, where the owner has now given it over to the shomer. The shomer takes the animal. And as far as the chalos is concerned, as far as the effect of that kinyan, maybe the effect of that kinyan will occur at a later point in time. Does the act of the kinyan and the effect of the kinyan have to occur at the same time? Can't there be a discrepancy between the act of the kinyan and the chalos of the kinyan? Rashi says, quoting the Gemara in Ksuvos, that doesn't work. If you take a look at Rashi inside, V'im Tomar, right? We'll go through the Rashi together. Let's go through the Rashi together. It is right in the middle of the Amud. Rashi, the Divar HaMaskil of Rashi is Inamid Avakai Ba'agam, V'im Tomar, I'm skipping now to the middle of the Rashi, right after the period. Tikne La Mashiach Rishana Shemash Chaloa Manasak Nosa Shasa Smucha L'Gneva Sa. Ha Amrinam, sorry. So this is Rashi formulating the question which I just articulated. Why don't we have the Maisa Kinyan occurring at the time of the Mesira, and then the Chalos Kinyan occurring later. So Rashi quotes the Gemara in Ksuvos. And the Gemara in Ksuvos says, "Ha'omer lechaver meshoch parazu, v'lo tikne lach ela la'achr shloshim, lo kana." So the Gemara in Ksuvos says that we cannot do that. We cannot create a gap between the Maisa Kinyan and the Chalos. Let's say I say to a person, I want to do the Maisa Kinyan now, but the Chalos taking effect 30 days from now. So the Gemara in Ksuvos says that simply does not work. Okay, Rashi quotes that Gemara, and so therefore, the suggestion over here obviously is not going to work as well. If you subscribe to the idea that the kinyan occurs at T2, so that means that the Maisa kinyan also has to occur at T2 as well, and you can't have an earlier Maisa kinyan helping us at the T2 point. That is Rashi over here quoting the Gemara Ksuvos. Now, the truth of the matter is, there is actually more to the story. I'm stopping here, meaning I'll get you this far in the story. You see the Gemara Ksuvos, you'll see that over there, it's a Machlokas Amoraim, and Rashi over here is citing one opinion over there in the Gemara Ksuvos, there actually is another opinion over there, and a discussion of whether or not the position that Rashi quoted is the accepted position or it's not the accepted position. Okay, and in the meantime, however, I'll take you this far.
So with the get of Isha, they say, will you take it back in 30 days? I mean, She acquires a get in 30 days,
right.
Or she gets acquires a non.
Right. Okay. Again, this is a lengthier discussion, much lengthier discussion. But I'll take you this far in the discussion. Okay. Let's go back to the Gemara now. We are on Lamed Aleph Alpha at the two dots. So here we go. So what did we learn together in the Mishnah? That if the Shomer has a chance of exempting himself, but opts not to exempt himself, but to pay for the item, so that means now that he acquires the item, and in the event that there's a future kefal consideration, the Shomer is going to get the kefal. That's what we learned together in the Mishnah. The Gemara now discusses the following point. Shilim v'lo ratz lishava v'chule amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba amar Rabbi Yochanan lo shilim shilim ma'amishela kevin shama harinim mishalim afapish lo shilim. Rabbi Yochanan makes the following chiddush. It is, and I foreshadowed this back in the Mishnah. It is the Shomer doesn't actually have to pay for it. A commitment to pay for it is enough. Once the Shomer makes a commitment to pay for it, so now he is going to receive the benefit of kefal in the event that the ganav is found. Now, just in terms of understanding that, I think it's pretty straightforward. Meaning that, remember, the Shomer didn't have to pay. The Shomer could have exempted himself by having to make a shvua, simply saying that the animal was stolen from me. So already a commitment to pay is a major departure from what he needed to do. All he needed to do was just simply make a shvua, which I understand is not small, but he could have exempted himself. So once he made a commitment to pay, that, says Rav Yochanan, is enough, where it's going to basically give him the benefits of the item. It's not that he's believed. In other words, the credibility over here, remember, he didn't have to pay. Right, but the idea is that because he could exempt himself, and he now is departing from that position and saying, I'm going to pay, that already is a major departure from what he needed to do, and already now he's going to receive benefits, if there's a benefit. Right, in other words, right, that's a chiddush of Rav Yochanan, in that there's no kinyan. But again, we can go back to the Gemara's previous point, in that the kinyan goes retroactive to the point of the original Masira. What do you mean? Meaning now?
Yeah, just like the handkerchief or a pen.
Right, but the item is not there. Meaning the kinyan seder is great, but the kinyan seder is only reflective.
But the item, for a kinyan seder, the item has to be there.
Has to be in existence.
Symbolism that this
has to be in existence. The item has to be in existence. You're making a kinyan on something that's not here. Okay. So the Gemara says Tanan. Let's take a look at our Mishnah. Shilem v'lo ratz lishava shilem in lo shilem lo. So the Gemara says, look, Rav Yochanan's position, conceptually we understand, but the Mishnah says that the only time that the Shomer actually acquires the item is when he pays. So I must say, for the Gemara says, well, I tell you the truth, if you look, continue reading in the Mishnah, it's not so clear. Because the Mishnah says, nishba v'lo ratz lishalem. The Mishnah then goes on to say, well, what if he makes a shvua and he doesn't want to pay? So time of the lo ratza, ha ratza afa pishlo shilem. So actually from the Mishnah, the second half of the Mishnah, seems pretty clear that a ratzon, a willingness to pay, already makes him the owner of the item. So the Gemara concedes that from the Mishnah, you're not going to get a definitive ruling on whether or not Rav Yochanan is correct or not correct. So Tanya kavasa de Rav Yochanan, and then the Gemara quotes a braisa. And the braisa goes as follows. So let's say a person rents an animal from his friend and the animal gets stolen. Now here is a socher, he's a renter. Now as a renter, so you are going to be on the hook, you're going to be liable in the case of Geneva Veveda. And under those circumstances, the person says, I'm going to pay, but I'm not going to make a shvua. So here, he says that he's going to pay. So, under those circumstances, because he says he's going to pay, so now he has the benefit of, in the event that there's kefal, he's going to be the recipient of kefal. So from the brace, it seems pretty clear that just a willingness to pay is going to be sufficient. And so now Rav Papa, along these lines, is going to say the following. In the event that you are a custodian, we're going to go over different types of custodians. So in the event that you are a custodian, so as long as you say something that will exempt you, sorry,
no.
As long as you say something that will obligate you, so then you, that is tantamount to a commitment to pay, and therefore you are going to be receiving the benefits if there are any future benefits, notably kefal. Okay, now is a good time. Rashi uses this opportunity to remind us of the Dalet Shomrim. So before we go further in the Gemara, let's just quickly take a jump to Rashi, and let's go over the Dalet Shomrim. Right, Rashi is right after the Dibra Amaschol Lake Makna Lake Fela. Rashi writes, so in terms of where the Gemara formally introduces us to all this information, so Rashi says we have some time to wait. Rashi tells us that all this is going to be occurring on Daf Tzadi Dala Amud Beis. That's 94b, we're on 34a. Okay, so we got some time before we have a formal introduction. Fine, informal introduction. Shomer Chinam Yisheva Ala Kol Im Lo Pasha. So if you're Shomer Chinam, if you are an unpaid custodian, so the only thing that will obligate you to pay is if you were grossly negligent with the item. Short of that, the item was stolen, the item was lost. Certainly if an ones occurs, so you're going to be exempt. You could exempt yourself. Okay. On the other side, on the flip end, is if you're a shul, you're borrowing an item. Borrowing an item, so you get all benefit, and you're basically putting forth nothing. You're not paying for that benefit. So when you are a borrower, so you're going to be obligated over everything. Okay. With one notable exception, however, as a shul, what if the animal dies while it's working? That's the only time where you're going to be exempt even as a shul, because why are you borrowing the item? You're borrowing the item in order to work the item. So as long as you are working the item in its normal usage, and then the animal dies, it's unlikely that that's going to happen, but if that happens, so then under those limited in that limited example, are you going to be exempt. And then, no se sachar v'asocher. Now, what if you are a paid custodian or you're renting the item? So there, you're washing, but you're getting some sort of benefit. In the case of a renter, the benefit you're getting is the usage of the item. In the case of an osei sachar, you are getting paid to watch the item. You're getting some sort of benefit. So patur mina onsim b'chayav ben geneva v'aveda. So if onis, so something happens beyond your control, you're going to be exempt. But if the item is stolen or if the item is lost, so then you're going to be obligated. Shoel patur b'meisa machmas malacha haruyala d'amrale lahachi ashlech li v'lo l'ukme b'kilta. Okay, and then Rashi at the very end just goes over the point that I went over already, and that is by the borrower, he is going to be exempt in the event that the animal dies out of normal usage, because that's why you borrowed the item. Okay. So basically we have now, in terms of the Shomrim, it's four Shomrim, but it's really three categories. We have the Shomer Chinam, who is going to be exempt almost under all circumstances unless he was poshea. On the other extreme, we have the shoel, who is always going to be liable unless the animal dies machmas malacha. And then we have the middle category of the socher and the nosei sachar, where there, he's going to be exempt only for ones. But if it's gneva v'aveda, he's going to be liable. Okay, so those are your three categories. And now let's go back to the Gemara with the words Amar Rav Papa. Right, Amar Rav Papa. Shomer Chinam Kevin Shamar Pashati Mikne Lekfela. The Ibai Patanav She Begneva. So the Shomer Chinam, if he says I was negligent in the item, which is basically an admission that I am liable, I have to pay you. Now he could have said. Now I understand, by the way, this idea of what he could have said. I know. These Gemaras always are tricky in that respect. But in other words, but he could have said that the item was stolen, or the item was lost. And he opted not to say that, but rather to say that he was poshea. So because he could have said something that would exempt him, and he said something that held him to be liable, so therefore that is tantamount to him making an admission, that an intent that he's going to pay for the item, and therefore he has acquired the item. So again, in the future consideration that we're going to find the ganav, he gets to keep the kefal. Shomer Sacher, Kevin Shamar Nignava, Makna Lekfela. Shomer Sacher, if he says that the item was stolen, so again, an admission that would hold him liable, so Di'ibai Patanav Shebeshvur Umesa. Now over here, he could have said that the animal broke, he could have said that the animal died, meaning Ones, but he instead opted to say something that would hold him liable, so therefore, that is again going to be tantamount to a rutz on a willingness to pay for the item, and therefore, if there's a future fringe benefit, he's going to benefit from that. And finally, Shoel. Shoel Shomer Harin Mishalem Lo Makne Lekfela. Rav Papa says, but here's where I draw the line. You have a Shoel. Now a shul is always going to be liable. Now, yes, the Gemara in the moment is about to admit there is a case where he's not going to be liable, but for most intent and purposes, the shul is going to be liable. So here, his admission will never result in him acquiring the animal, because there's really almost nothing he could say that would exempt him from having to pay. So for him saying, hey, look, it's my bad, I got to pay, we basically say to him, oh, well, of course it is. You're the shoal. That's generally speaking what's going to happen to you. And so therefore he does not acquire the animal when he pays for the animal, because there's really nothing he could say that would exempt him. But my malacha. Now what could he have said that would have exempted him? Well, the animal died during work. The Gemara says that's so improbable. We basically rule that out as one of the possibilities of what he could say. It's true, but it's so unlikely. Okay, so here Rav Papa basically outlines where if you're a shomer and you could have exempted yourself, but come forward and admit that you were in the bad, so under most circumstances, by the shomer chinam, socher, no se sachar, in those three examples, if you admit that you did wrong and you're going to pay, that is all going to be equal and tantamount to you acquiring the item. And the reason why you're acquiring the item is because you could have exempted yourself. A contrast that to the shoal, where there's effectively nothing you could have said, so therefore you are not acquiring the item when you pay for the item. Ikadamri, now in the second version of Rav Papa, the only thing that shifts in this second version is going to be that last point. Amr Rav Papa shoal na mikem shamar harin emeshala makne lekfele di bayipata nafshei b'meisa machmas malacha. In the second version of Rav Papa, even a shoal, by him accepting the fact that it was his fault, he acquires the item, and because he could have exempted himself with the idea that the animal died, machmas malacha, and even though in the first version we said that's unlikely, in the second version I guess it's the second version doesn't, yeah. Right. Doesn't think it's as unlikely. Okay, maybe that's a way to explain it. Anyway, Amalei Rezvin Hachi Amar Abaye Shoel Ad Shi Yishalem. Baye says that when it comes to the Shoel, when does he acquire the item? Not until he actually pays for the item. My time Ahol V'Chol Ana Shelo B'Dibur Lo Makne Le'Kfela. Because when it comes to the Shoel, he got all the benefit. So now for him to raise his hand and say, "Hey, it's my fault." Well, the truth of the matter is it's not enough. Meaning, you're a shoal. I'm not prepared to relinquish my ownership of the item to you just because you raised your hand and said, mekopo. In other words, it's not going to be enough. If you want to acquire the item, so what you're going to do is you're going to pay for the item. Tanya Kavasi de Rav Zvid, the Gemara quotes a Bryce, and this Bryce is supportive of this idea of Rav Zvid. Hashol par mechaver v'nignava v'kina mashal v'shilam v'achakach nimtza agana mesham tishol mekefal l'shoal. So here in the Bryce says very clearly that kidem, right, I'm just rereading the Bryce, kidem hashol v'shilam. The shoal actually pays for the item which was stolen from him. Then and only then has he acquired the item. So now, lishna kamad Rav Papa v'ad elo havyat yufta. Now, according to the first version of Rav Papa, this is not going to be a challenge. Lishna basra lema tehavyat yufta. But according to the second version of Rav Papa, however, the brisa seems difficult, because the brisa certainly seems to indicate that an admission of the shoal is not enough. In order for him to acquire the item, he's got to pay for the item. So amalech Rav Papa mi alima memasisa diktani shilin v'okimna ba'amar hachanami ba'amar. So the Gemara says, well, shilem doesn't actually mean to pay. Look, in the Mishnah, remember we saw the word shilem and we meant, he didn't actually pay, but he indicated that he's going to pay. So here also, can we say the same thing? So the Gemara says, midami hasam lo katani kidem, hachi katani kidem. Gemara says it's not a fair comparison, because in the Mishnah we don't have the word kidem. In the Brisa, which we just read, it said kidem, which means that he steps forward and he pays. Sounds pretty clear. My kidem kidem va'amar. The Gemara says, well, maybe not. Maybe kidem just simply means that he stepped forward to say that he's going to pay. Hamid diktani gabi socher va'amar v'gabi shoval kidem shmamina dafke ketani. So the Gemara says, yeah, but in the Braisa, in the contrasting cases of the socher, where there, it doesn't... it doesn't use the word kidem. In the case of shoal, it does use the word kidem. So the contrast is indicating that by the shoal, he actually has to pay. So the Gemara says, "Mi de gabi hadade tanya." Well, I don't understand. I know you're quoting the other part of the brisa, but where these two brisas actually go hand in hand, "Shailin latanai de be rebi chia They asked Rabbi Yoshia, they asked Rabbi Chia, and they said very clearly, yes, these braisas go hand in hand. Therefore, we are allowed to contrast the first part of the braisa, the second part of the braisa. First part of the braisa, when discussing the socher, does not use the word kidem. An admission that he is obligated is enough. When it comes to the shoel, an admission by itself is not enough. The Gemara seems to indicate and conclude that when it comes to a shoel, it's just simply saying, mea culpa, I'm sorry, it's my fault. That's enough for him to acquire the item. What he has to do is he actually has to pay for the item in order for him to actually acquire the item. Okay. With all that stated, here's what we have learned together. We have learned together that in the cases of a shamachinam and a socher and a nosi sachar, so just by simply saying that I could exempt myself, but I decide not to, and I decide that I'm going to pay for the item. So at that point in time, you now, the shomer, become the owner of the item. If in the event the ganav is found, you're going to be the recipient of kefal. With that stated now, the Gemara has a lot of questions. Pshita. Amar hinei mishalem v'chazav amar hareini mishalem. Haka amar hareini mishalem. Let's say the shomer starts off with a position of, you know what, I'm not going to pay you. I don't have to. In other words, I can exempt myself with whatever. If he's a shomer chinam, by simply saying that the item was stolen, I'm not going to pay. But then afterwards, he comes back to you a day later and he says, you know what, I changed my mind. I am going to pay you. So the Gemara says it's obvious that by him now, even though he started off with saying, I'm not going to pay, but by virtue of the fact that he comes to you later and he says, I am going to pay, so then the Gemara says, obviously, at that point in time, he has made a commitment, and therefore he has acquired the item. Okay, Ella. I'm a Harina Mishalim, but here's where the questions begin. We're now on the top of Lamedala Amid Beis. Harina Mishalim, he says that I'm going to pay because of Amar Aina Mishalim. So he starts off with a commitment that he says to the owner, look, I'm really sorry. Item was stolen from me. I could exempt myself, but I'm going to pay. And then it comes over a day later and he says, you know what, I'm not going to pay. So my. So over here now, the second position he's taking is I'm not paying. Mi Amrina Mahadaka Hadarbe. So do we view that as a retraction? Or maybe no. Maybe it's not a retraction. He's just looking to stall and buy some time because he doesn't have the money right now to pay. Okay. If you ask, I know my 2 cents don't amount to anything, but if you ask me, it sounds pretty clear that it's a retraction, but okay. The Gemara entertains this idea. Amar harini mashlem umes, v'am rabban av einan mashamen. Now, Gemara says, let's take this to the next. We're just going to ask a series of questions that basically get us wondering whether or not the commitment was a good commitment to pay. Second question of the Gemara goes like this. Let's say that in the event where he says he's going to pay, but then he doesn't get to paying, and he dies, and the children say, look, I know our father made a commitment to pay for the item, which he didn't have to pay for, but we're not paying for it. So my, mi amrina mahadu kahadre behu, odilma bemilsa de avun kaime, udechuhu de kamatche lay. And again, the Gemara entertains these two ideas, where on one hand, it's really a retraction, or maybe no, maybe the kids are going to honor the father's commitment, but right now they don't have money, so they're just simply buying, pushing and stalling and buying some time. Okay. Shuma banim mai. So now, let's go on to the next question. Let's say the father made a commitment that he's going to pay, the father dies, he didn't pay yet, and the children actually honor their father's commitment, then they pay. So matzi amalehu ki aknik feila la'avuchan da'avelinach nafshele ditchu, lo. Can the original owner say, look, to your father, I was ready to give him all the benefits of this item, all future benefits, notably kefal. I liked your father. He did a lot of things for me. And you know what? I had no problem. In other words, if there was a kefal consideration, I had no problem giving it to your father. He was a great man. But kids, I'm going to be honest with you. You're right. I don't know you. I don't owe you anything. In other words, I'm not handing kefal over to you. That's one possibility. Odim aloshna. Or maybe no. Maybe when the owner made the commitment to the father, and so the father's no longer alive, maybe he's ready to continue that commitment over to the children. Shilin labanim mai. What if, let's say, there was a payment, but the payment was made over to the sons, meaning that the owner didn't survive. In other words, the owner of the item, the shomer said to the original owner, look, I'm going to pay you. The owner said, fine, no problem at all, and with that commitment, the He's ready to hand over Kefil over to the Shomer, but then the owner didn't survive. And now the Shomer, honoring his commitment, pays, but pays the children. My matzah amr le ki akne le avuna kfela davar le naich nafshei ava anan le didan lo. Can the children have the right to say to the shomer, look, our father was ready to give over kefil to you, but we're not ready to give kefil over to you. Odem alo shna, or maybe there's no difference. Next question. Shem abanim labanim. Let's say both the shomer and the original owner both die. And now, again, the shomer made a commitment to pay the original owner. The children now are honoring their father's commitment, and they're paying the children of the owner. The Gemara doesn't even articulate the question. Next question. Shile mechzamai. What if they paid half of the obligation? Is that enough? Next question. Shal shtei paros vishilein. Achas mehem. Let's say that you borrowed two animals, and of the two animals that you borrowed, you paid for one of the two animals. Is that payment for one of the two animals going to be sufficient so that you can benefit kefil on both of those animals? Shal min ashutfim vishilim le'echad mehemai. Next question. Let's say you borrowed from partners. In other words, two people own the animal, and you borrowed from the partners. And again, the animal was stolen from you. And you're going to pay, but you only paid one of the two partners. Is that enough now where you can acquire the full kefil rights? Shutrim shishalu v'shilam echad mehem mai. What if you had partners who borrowed the animal, and the partners who borrowed the animal, so after the animal was stolen from them, only one of them paid? What would be the halacha over there? Next question. Shalmin Aisha. Vishilem Labala. Let's say you borrowed Nichse Malug from a woman, and then that means that the Nichse Malug, the principal, is owned by the wife, the parents are owned by the husband, and now the Shomer had the item stolen from him, and now he wants to pay for the item, and he pays the husband for the item. So now paying the husband for the item, he's not the owner of the item, he's only the owner of the peros. Is that going to be sufficient? Well, now there will be a transfer of kefil over to the shomer. Isha shashala v'shilem balamai. What if the woman borrowed the item from somebody, and then it's not she who paid for the item, but it was her husband who paid for the item? Is her husband's payment of the item going to be now considered a kinyan, so that he's the kefil opportunity is going to be transferred over to him? In all of these questions that we just asked, Teiku, the Gemara leaves these questions unresolved, right? I think there were a total of 11 questions that were just asked in the Gemara. Gemara says to all these questions, Teiku, these questions remain unresolved, and then a discussion, of course, what happens in the event that any of these things happen.
Is Nechse Malug only Kaka, or is that the item?
No, Nechse Malug can be on items as well.
Can be on items.
Yeah, sure. Sure. When Ksuvos we discussed Nechse Malug on animals, and yeah, you can turn animals into Nechse Malug as well. Amar Rav Huna, Mashbino so Shvua she'eno Berushusa. Okay, now Rav Huna says in all of this, let's not lose sight of the following. You see, I'm a shomer, and now I had an item entrusted by me. And the item was stolen. So I go over to the owner and I say to the owner, look, I'm really sorry. I'm a shomer chinam. I could exempt myself from having to make a shvuah, but you know what? Instead, alternatively, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pay for the item. And our discussion has been, from the Mishnah to this very point in time, whether or not he can acquire kefil. And the point the Mishnah made is that, yes, you can acquire kefil by having to pay for the item. Rav Huna basically says, but for a moment, can we just think about this? Meaning, what just happened? You had a shomer chinam who was entrusted to watch an item. So now an item has been given over to him. It could be that when all said and done, he just kind of fell in love with the item. And it could be that, you know what, he'll go over to the original owner and say, look, really sorry, but item was stolen, item was lost. I'm really sorry. And you know I can exempt myself, but you know what I'll do? I'm a good guy. I'll pay for the item. If we were a little bit cynical and a little bit suspicious, can't we just simply say that when all is said and done, all the shomer wanted to do was just simply buy the item off of the original owner? Rav Huna says, yeah, I'm concerned about that. And Rav Huna therefore says that, yes, we'll allow the shomer to pay for the item, But let us make him make one shvua, and that is just simply swear to us that the item is not by you. It's not currently in your possession. And if you're ready to do that, then we'll go forward with all this. Meaning, then you'll pay for the item, and you'll buy the kefil, etc., etc. But Rav Huna says, I just want one insurance clause over here that you didn't keep the item to yourself. This is the statement of Rav Huna, and what the Gemara now is going to do for the remainder of the daf, well into tomorrow's daf, is challenge the statement of Rav Huna. But before we do that, let's just finish reading the statement of Rav Huna. My time achashin and shema ina of nasan ba. So the concern is that ina nasan ba, that he has his eyes set on the item, kind of fell in love with the item, and so therefore he's doing all this, making himself out to be such a wonderful guy, when truth be told, all he did was just keep the item and pay for the item.
If he swore, doesn't it bring him to the point where he just made a shvua?
Right. In other words, right.
How is he going to be able to acquire it?
No, but in other words, he acquired it because he could have made a shvua that said that the item was stolen from him. In other words, remember, the larger issue is he's a shomer chinam. So the shvua he could have made is that the item was stolen. The item was right. The item was lost, and he could have exempted himself. But he says, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to pay for it. So Rav Huna says, that's all well and good. I just want to know that
you don't have
the item on you. So it's like an additional shvua that Rav Huna is imposing upon him just to make sure that he doesn't have the item. Okay, what we're going to be doing, we'll start this tomorrow, is we're going to be questioning this statement of Rav Huna. We're going to learn together a Mishnah and Shavuos. We're going to challenge Rav Huna. We continue tomorrow.